Life for most residents of Baghdad has been particularly hard since the end of the war. Much of the city's electrical grid is down, there's virtually no telephone service, and nearly 60% of the population is out of work. In the first of our two-part series on Iraqi family life in the aftermath of war, NPR's Kate Seeley spent a day with the Abdul Rahman family.
In a small wood shop, a thin man with a gray mustache and piercing green eyes waits with quiet resignation for the electricity to return. 43-year-old carpenter Diya Abdul Rahman says he depends on it for his livelihood. The electricity comes 2 hours later. Diya and his colleagues quickly get to work cutting wood. They got an order to fill for 40 chairs.
These are the hardest days of my life. Without electricity, I can't work, and my children need so many things.
An hour later, the electricity dies. Dia says he's earned about $3 in the last 3 months due to the lack of work after the war and the now almost daily power outages. His 17-year-old son has found some work, he says, but his family of seven has survived mainly on charity. At Dia's home in a poor neighborhood in North Baghdad, his daughters prepare lunch on an oil-burning stove in a narrow outdoor courtyard. The family lives in two dark rooms off of the courtyard. They have no oven, no refrigerator, only one fan. Diaz's gregarious wife, Tamather, says her home is barely fit for animals, and it's even worse this summer without electricity, she adds.
Sometimes I get so hot, I start to cry. I have to go stand outside by the front gate, and that's considered shameful for me as a woman. But what can I do?
The family sits down on the floor of their living room to a lunch of lentils, eggplant, and fried potatoes. Again, there is no electricity. There has been none at Diaz's home all day. So the family eat by the light of an oil lamp. The room is as still and as hot as a tomb. The eldest daughter, 16-year-old Mayasim, lashes out in anger.
It was better under Saddam. It was better than now because there was safety and security and we could go out at night.
For the past 3 months, she says, life has been like a prison for her and her sisters, 15-year-old Inas and 13-year-old Hadil. Their parents won't let them leave the house. None of them has returned to school since the end of the war. They've heard too many stories about girls being abducted and raped, they say. The mother agrees life is miserable these days, but still, she says, she wouldn't want to return to the past.
I don't want Saddam back. His government terrorized its people.
Her husband, she says, was one of the victims. In the 80s, Diya had a well-paid job as a clerk in the Ministry of Justice. She says he wore silk ties and navy suits to the office. Then, in 1994, a corrupt policeman accused him of taking a $10 bribe, which Diya denies, and threw him in prison for over a month. The family spent all their savings to get him out of jail, and then had to face the hardship of UN sanctions on Iraq.
We had to sell our furniture piece by piece to live.
By 5 in the afternoon, the temperature is soaring and there is still no electricity. The father heads for a swim in the nearby river. The older girls let off steam by playing with a young neighbor in the courtyard. The mother talks about her expectations for the Americans. I thought they'd bring us canned food so I wouldn't have to cook, she laughs. But she admits she's disappointed for other reasons.
I don't know why they haven't done anything to help the people, to gain their support. I wonder if they'll do something good for us. I expect that they will.
Back from his swim, Diya says most of the men at his tea house believe the Americans are here to occupy Iraq. He says he doesn't necessarily agree. As hard as life is right now, he says, he believes Iraq has a bright future.
I think about these things and the possibility of earning more money and even living a better life.
At 9, the family sits down to dinner. The prospect of yet another sweltering, sleepless night looms. But despite their hardships, they laugh and tell jokes. There's a sense among members of the Abdulrahman family that they've endured the worst, and now with Saddam gone, life can only get better. Kate Seeley, NPR News, Baghdad.